The teacher of truth, the only safe educator. There are two classes of educators in the world. One class is made up of those whom God makes channels of light, the other of those whom Satan uses as his agents, who are wise to do evil. One class contemplate the character of God, and increase in the knowledge of Jesus. This class become wholly given up to those things which bring heavenly enlightenment, heavenly wisdom, to the uplifting of the soul. Every capability of their nature is submitted to God, even their thoughts are brought into captivity to Christ. The other class are in league with the Prince of Darkness, who is ever on the alert that he may find an opportunity to teach others the knowledge of evil, and who, if place is made for him, will not be slow to press his way into heart and mind. There is great need of elevating the standard of righteousness in our schools, of giving instruction that is after God's order. Should Christ enter our institutions for the education of the youth, he would cleanse them as he cleansed the temple, banishing many things that have a defiling influence. Many of the books which the youth study would be expelled, and their places filled with others that would inculcate substantial knowledge, and would abound in sentiments which might be treasured in the heart, and in precepts that might safely govern the conduct. Is it the Lord's purpose that false principles, false reasoning, and the sophistries of Satan should be kept before the minds of our youth and children? Shall pagan and infidel sentiments be presented to our students as valuable additions to their store of knowledge? The works of the most intellectual skeptic are the works of a mind prostituted to the service of the enemy, and shall those who claim to be reformers, who seek to lead the children and youth in the right way, in the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord to walk in, imagine that God would have them present to the youth for their study that which will misrepresent his character and place him in a false light? Shall the sentiments of unbelievers, the expressions of dissolute men, be advocated as worthy of the students' attention, because they are the productions of men whom the world admires as great thinkers? Shall men professing to believe in God gather from these unsanctified authors their expressions and sentiments, and treasure them up as precious jewels to be stored away among the riches of the mind? God forbid. The Lord bestowed upon these men whom the world admires priceless intellectual gifts, he endowed them with master minds, but they did not use their powers to the glory of God. They separated themselves from him, as did Satan, but while they separated themselves from him, they still retained many of the precious gems of thought which he had given them. These they have placed in a framework of error, to give luster to their own human sentiments, to make attractive the utterances inspired by the prince of evil. It is true that in the writings of pagans and infidels there are found thoughts of an elevated character, which are attractive to the mind. But there is a reason for this. Was not Satan the light-bearer, the sharer of God's glory in heaven, and next to Jesus in power and majesty? In the words of inspiration he is described as one who sealeth up the sum, full of wisdom, and perfect in beauty. The prophet declares, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." The greatness and power with which the Creator endowed Lucifer, he has perverted, yet when it suits his purpose, he can impart to men sentiments that are enchanting. Satan can inspire his agents with thoughts that appear elevating and noble. Did he not come to Christ with quotations of Scripture when he designed to overthrow him with specious temptations? It is thus that he comes to men, disguising his temptations under an appearance of goodness and making them believe him to be the friend rather than the enemy of humanity. In this way he has deceived and seduced the race, beguiling them with subtle temptations, bewildering them with specious deceptions.